Amen.
Hear the word of God. The reading today is from Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 10, and this can be found on page 924 of the Pew Bible. Acts 16, verses 1 to 10. Timothy joins Paul and Silas. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. The Macedonian call. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Amen. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, may we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm sure we've all at some time been in a situation where we know that we needed to do something, but we didn't quite know what it was to do. Sometimes it's big decisions. We're moving house, and we've seen two or three, and we're just not sure which one, is it the first one we saw or the second one we saw? Which one would be the best one for us to move to? Sometimes we just pretend that we don't know what to do. The answer's really easy. Should I cut the grass or should I do just about anything else, really? But you know what to do. But sometimes we genuinely don't know what to do. Our postcard from Paul this week comes from the town of Derby. Not Derby, one of the birthplaces of the Industrial Revolution and the home of Derby County. Remember Brian Clough? But then today's not a day to talk about football, is it, Mike? This ancient Derby was a town in Asia Minor, what's now Turkey. In Acts 16, which Kath read the beginning of for us earlier, Derby is recorded as the setting out place, the first point from which Paul leaves on what we now call his second missionary journey. This is the one that happens right after the council meeting in Jerusalem. Paul takes the news from that council to the Gentile Christians all around Asia Minor. So what is the message that Paul would send to us today from Derbe? Dear all, we are being guided by the Spirit. Wish you were here. What a great message. We are being guided by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God for all the people of God. Last week, the youth group helped us to celebrate Pentecost. But now we're in that season of Pentecost where we don't forget the gift of the Spirit. We celebrate the gift of the Spirit and pray that God would strengthen us to live in his Spirit day by day. In this passage, we're told about the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the early church, the presence and work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Apostle Paul. We're told about how the Holy Spirit leads and guides the people of God. When Paul writes to us, "Wish you were here," in our imaginary postcard, we hear him saying, "I wish that you also were being led and guided by the Holy Spirit." Wouldn't it be great if we took that as our prayer for one another? And whenever we remember to pray for one another in the congregation, we were to pray, "Lord, let the Holy Spirit lead and guide all of our brothers and sisters in Christ." The Holy Spirit guided Paul in all his service. The passage we read begins by telling us of some of the things that Paul usually did, some of the things that the Holy Spirit would normally guide Paul into in his service. The big overarching theme in Paul's service was to build the church. Paul's only got some cranes, we've got scaffolding. But it'll soon be gone, it'll soon be gone. But then the kitchen will start, so that'll be something else. Building the church is what Paul usually does. And in this passage, we see how Paul is led by the Holy Spirit to build the church by encouraging others in service. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman, who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. He took him, circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew his father was a Greek. So here's Paul, who has had this wonderful life-changing experience of meeting the risen Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He's been called to be an apostle. He's been trained in his apostolic ministry immediately by the Lord Jesus. He has preached the gospel all the way through Syria, through Galatia, and northwards into this region around Derbe and Lystra. Paul comes to this town, and somebody says, "Here's this young man. What does the great apostle do?" It would have been very easy for Paul to think to himself, "I'm too important to speak to young people. I didn't come here to speak to the young people. I came here to speak to the church leaders, to speak to the great ones in the local community, to preach to huge crowds." Would have been really easy for Paul to think that. But Paul doesn't do that. Paul takes time to get to know Timothy, to speak with Timothy, to encourage Timothy. He finds out about Timothy's faith and Timothy's story of faith, and he concludes that he wants to invite this young man to join him in his apostolic service. What an encouragement to this young man. "Paul noticed me. Paul spoke to me." What an encouragement to his family, his mother and his grandmother who are believers. "We've prayed for this young man since his birth, and look how God's using him and calling him in service." What an encouragement to his Gentile community. "We weren't sure that there was a place for us in the church, but now Paul brings us the news from this Council of Jerusalem, and now he shows us how Timothy, one of us, is to be included in service in this church." What an encouragement. Ministry and service with Paul are not restricted to Jews or former Jews or those who used to be Pharisees, but for all whom God calls and gifts for service. Paul's including Timothy in his apostolic service is a very visible sign of this, a real encouragement to the church then and to us now. How are we doing at encouraging one another in service, following the Lord Jesus? Do we take time to notice others, to learn of their story of faith, and to encourage them in their service? Do we get used to hearing, and no doubt during this week of General Assembly, the press will love to tell us about how the church is declining and the numbers of ministers are declining? Are we seeking to encourage service in our church by praying for God to call men and women to service in his church? This should be a usual, a normal part of our church life. Something we do all the time is encourage others in service. Paul usually encourages others in service. Paul also usually strengthens the church. This is his normal work. Look at verse 4. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for their observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. The church is strengthened by Paul as he shares news of the decision of the council to include equally Gentiles together with Jews in the church of Jesus Christ. The good news of the one gospel of God being for all people strengthens the church. Are we not all made strong in the Lord every time we hear the gospel? Every time we hear how much Jesus loves us? Every time we hear that God invites us all into his family, are we not strengthened? As the church is made strong in the gospel, so the church grows. Church growth is normal. This is what God usually does. He grows his church by adding to their number those who are being saved. One of the ways God does this is by strengthening his church. People who don't yet believe in Jesus are attracted to strong churches. Paul serves God by strengthening the church that the church might grow. I hope we all long to see our congregation grow. Indeed, to see every congregation of Christ grow. I hope we want to see our congregation grow by seeing people becoming Christian, joining us in worship and service. One of the usual ways God will do this is by strengthening our life and our service as a congregation of his people. God does this by using his people, you and I, as agents to strengthen his church. God wants to use us for this. We are the people of God who, by our witness to the gospel, by our living in Christ daily, strengthen the church. Live for Jesus. Talk for Jesus. Share your story of faith and life and hope with one another. Often we're encouraged to share our story with those outside the church. But let's be encouraged to share our stories with those inside the church, that we might bless one another, and that God might strengthen his congregation among us. So this is what Paul normally does. This is what Paul has usually been doing. But it's time for something new. It's time for Paul to begin to do something different. God is going to do a radically new thing. And Paul finds himself right at the center of that. This rather fuzzy map shows us a small part. The red line is just a small part of what might have been the route of Paul's journey that he's on. And you can see the city of Troas there, where Paul ends up, and then the red line goes across the sea to Neapolis and on to Philippi. The journey is not long. It is not a big journey in terms of miles. But in terms of its significance, it is a huge journey. On the Troas side of the map, Paul is in Asia. And up till now, that's the only continent in which the gospel has been preached and shared. For the first time, as Paul crosses this short stretch of sea, the gospel is taken into a whole new continent, into Europe. It's time for something new. But let's notice how Paul is brought to this new thing. How does Paul learn that God wants to do a new thing? They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. We've said many times that it's characteristic of the Holy Spirit that he speaks. It's been characteristic of Paul, everywhere he goes, he speaks. But now, the Holy Spirit forbids him to speak. When they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Here's two new towns. Paul and the others want to go and share the gospel there, and the Spirit of Jesus will not allow them. What's usually done is not to be done. Can we try to imagine for a moment how Paul must have felt about this? Up to now, the Spirit has been prompting and leading and encouraging Paul to speak, and now he's to be silent, to enter new towns and new regions, and now he's forbidden to go. Paul would be at a loss, not knowing what to do. What do? When you don't know what to do? Just in passing, for Paul to have spoken in Asia would have been good. For Paul to have entered Mysia and Bithynia would have been good. But the Holy Spirit doesn't want what is good. The Holy Spirit wants what is best. And this is the day, this is the time when the Holy Spirit is going to do a whole new thing, which is the best thing. We believe that the Holy Spirit is endlessly creative, doing new things that have never been done before in making Jesus known, inspiring the writing of new music and new songs, preaching the gospel in new places and in new ways, using new people to share their faith in Jesus with others that they might hear of God's love. But the new thing always seems frightening. It always seems risky. But you know, that's how you spell faith. R-I-S-K. If we are the disciples of Jesus, if we are faithfully following Jesus, the Holy Spirit will, without doubt, lead us into something new. He will lead us into places where we don't know what to do. And that's why we're asking, what do? When you don't know what to do. The place where we don't know what to do is a good place for us to live as Christians. One of the great challenges in our Christian living and in our life together as a congregation is our caution. Our desire to know the next step and the step after that before we begin. Our great passion to be in control and to be able to manage what we're about to do. But our calling as disciples of Jesus is to follow Jesus, not to set the course, to let the Holy Spirit be in control, not to seek to control everything ourselves. To follow Jesus means that we don't know the next step. We cannot control or manage all the possible outcomes. But if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to do something. And the way that we know what to do when we don't know what to do is to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, to find out where the Spirit's walking and to walk together with him. We need to become sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The passage in Acts 16 that we've been reading doesn't tell us how Paul knew he was forbidden to speak. It doesn't tell us. I wish it had, but it doesn't. It doesn't tell us how the Holy Spirit prevented Paul from entering Mysia and Bithynia. Wouldn't we love to know that? But we're not told. Paul knew. Can't we all think of someone we know really well? And whenever we're with them, without the need for words, in some strange, unexpressible way. We know when they're content. We know when they're happy. We know when they're anxious. We know when they're irritated. We can't just put our finger on how this works. But we have become sensitive to them through long fellowship and long friendship with them. We have spent time with them, and we have got to know them. And so how are we doing at being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit? Are we every day seeking to know his presence that we might get to know him? Do we remember times when we were aware of the Holy Spirit leading us in very obvious ways? We need to remember those times so that we can recognize when he's doing it again. I imagine Paul seeking an opportunity to speak about Jesus in Asia and not finding one, and recognizing the Holy Spirit at work in that. I imagine Paul, as it were, pushing at the door to enter into Mysia and Bithynia and finding the door closed and recognizing the Holy Spirit in that. The only way to learn this is to practice the presence of the Holy Spirit, to intentionally live together with him every day, that we might get to know him and we might be sensitive to his leading. When we don't know what to do, the Spirit will call us. We need to learn to be obedient to the call of the Holy Spirit. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man of Macedonia standing, urging him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Try to imagine the conversation over breakfast the next morning. Wouldn't that be a doozy? Here's Paul, he wakes up and he gathers the team round and he says, "I've had a dream." And they all go, "Yeah, so? We're going to change all our plans. We're going to do something completely new on the basis of my dream." How do you think this conversation's going for the others? Someone might say, "Oh, it's a bit risky going over to Europe. They're strange over there. They speak funny language. Things are going well in Asia. Why don't we just stick with what we've got?" Someone might say, "We don't have enough money to afford a boat trip." All sorts of reasons for not obeying the calling of the Holy Spirit. Many Christians find they're living out of step with the Spirit because he has called them into some area of service and they've said no. They have rejected him and turned their back on the Spirit's call. We need to recognize if that's happened in our life. We need to repent of that and seek forgiveness. We're not going to seek to go back and do the thing that the Spirit called us to do last week or last month or last year. That's past. But through repentance and forgiveness, we're going to ask that the Spirit would call us into something for today, for tomorrow, for next week and next month and next year, and that we would learn how to be obedient and follow him. A warning: don't go depending upon your own dreams. I imagine Paul did share his dream with the others who were there. And it was when the Spirit confirmed the dream by their encouragement and their support that Paul knew it really was the Spirit. We need to share these things with others so that we can be strengthened by their support to be obedient to the Spirit's call. When we don't know what to do, the Spirit will guide us. We need to learn to be trusting in his guidance. God's Holy Spirit is never, ever going to lead you into somewhere that will be bad for you. Never going to do that. It might be dangerous. I have friends who have been led by the Holy Spirit to serve in Afghanistan, in Syria. It might be dangerous. But if God's guiding you and leading you, it will be good for you. It will almost certainly be risky. It will almost always be frightening. But God will never lead you somewhere other than the best for you. The leading of God, the guiding of the Holy Spirit, will be a blessing to you and a blessing to others. This is one of the key works of the Holy Spirit, to guide the people of Jesus as to how we are to follow him, to lead us into immediate acts of service and kindness. That prompting we get to make a phone call, to drop a card through a neighbor's door, to go and visit someone who we haven't seen and maybe isn't well, to give us words to speak of Jesus, to give us generous hearts, to guide our lives so that they are shaped every moment for the glory of God. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. We need to surrender our lives to the guidance of the Spirit. We need to let him set our course and to trust him enough to follow him. Of course, we don't know how to follow Jesus. We don't know how to do that. But we want to. And when we don't know what to do, we trust the Holy Spirit. He knows. He doesn't know just one way to follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit knows 100,000 different ways, one that's just right for you. I'm not going to try and take time to speak of where God's Spirit might be leading each one of us. Take far too long. I'm not even going to try and speak of where God may be leading and guiding us by his Spirit as a congregation. We know that he wants to, and we know that we need to trust him in his guidance. Perhaps that's all we need to know today, that we should call out to God that his Spirit would be at work among us, that we would become sensitive to his leading, that we would be obedient to his calling, that we would trust him in the way he guides us. Let's pray together. Father, we do give you thanks for your Holy Spirit, for his work in us that we read and understand your word, for his work in us to lead us and call us and guide us in the way we should live to honor you and serve you. We confess that we don't know what to do. We confess that oftentimes we have missed your leading. We have rejected your calling. We have not trusted you. But we want to change that. We want to be people alive in the power of your Spirit. We want to be people led and guided by your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit on us for this, each one. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.